Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Gamers Inn. Come on in, pull up a chair next to the fire. It looks like you've had a long journey. I'm your host, Jocelyn, and joining me for, a fill-in thing, because Ryan had a baby, or I guess Ryan's wife had a baby, but Ryan now has a little one. It's a he, and his name is Caden. And so, yeah, he now has a party of an Ashley and a Caden, so I'm pretty sure that Ryan is just trying to make Mass Effect real. But yeah, so joining me in Ryan's place is James, also known as Yagavos. He's been on the program before. I think you and I haven't been on together, just the two of us, in
A while.
forever. Like, I think years, because I think the last time that we were on together was actually like the Gamergate discussion when
Oh
that
my gosh,
very first
summer-ish.
started.
Jeez.
So yeah, it's been a
How are
really
you?
long time. But James also helps us with all of our extra life stuff. So every year when we do all of our cool, fun, extra life 24-hour marathon stuff, James is always front and center. So yeah, you guys, I'm sure you know who he is. He needs no introduction.
I never need introduction.
Exactly. So, how have you been, dude?
Good. I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm not too bad. I've actually had more gaming time than normal because this whole like doing this whole streaming thing for, a living. I don't have a job to go to every day. So, man, I've been able to play so much. I've been playing Hearthstone, I've been playing Warcraft, but actually I've been playing Darkest Dungeon lately, which, man, oh man, when you first go into the game, you open up the game and it gives you almost like a warning because it's like it's a roguelike. So it says like you will fail quests, people will die. I'm like already thinking, man, oh man, I am just going to absolutely hate this game because I'm one of those people, like, I mean, Until Dawn, I kept everybody alive, like I don't ever want to lose characters or not finish quests. It makes me feel bad. So I'm like, I'm probably really not gonna like this game.
My Until Dawn playthrough, I think I killed five people.
What?
Here's
How
the
is
thing.
that even possible? Well, I guess technically everyone can live or everyone can die, but
Three people died, so I guess five survived.
Oh, okay. That's not too bad. I mean, there's a couple that are actually really easy to kill if you're not careful. Like, oh, actually, I did have one person die. Mike's girlfriend, the blonde girl. I didn't
Oh,
get to her.
Jessica?
Yeah, I didn't
Aw.
get to her fast enough. So yeah, she died good.
She survived in mine. Mike did. Emily did. Sam didn't, sadly.
Oh.
Yeah, because right at the very end, I messed up a quick time event. She's my favorite character.
Yeah, she
I
was pretty
miss.
awesome.
But, and Matt died.
Oh.
She at the beginning died, because they have to die.
Well, yes, yeah. And that was the other thing that I was so confused about, too. Because, like, the whole internet was talking about how, like, everyone can live or everyone can die. And then I didn't realize that that didn't include, like, the prologue. So I, like, was trying to save these two girls and it just, like, wouldn't let me. And I was like, this is dumb. I actually, before I kept going with the game, I, like, YouTubed both the choices. And it's just like, no, you actually literally can't save these girls. I was like, oh. Okay, I can
Fair enough.
continue with my playthrough now. But yeah, so anyways, back to Darkest Dungeon. I just love having everybody, go all the way through. Like, I'm not used to these whole like roguelike type experiences, and I'm not a big turn-based combat person. So I was just like, I'm looking at this, I'm like, everyone is raving about this, and I'm just like, it's probably not going to be my cup of tea. And then I started actually really getting into it, and I couldn't put it down. Like,
No.
it's so good.
I streamed let's see how long I've been so I bought it in early access last year sometime.
Oh, okay. See, I've never, like, this is my first experience with it. I just literally bought it like 2 days ago.
I would have played it for like an hour in early access. I've now played 15 hours,
Oh,
so
wow.
no, this game is completely speaking my language. It's super hard. Everyone can die.
Yeah.
Every victory is one you earn. It's actually you saying you like Darkest Dungeon makes me wish so much what you play Dark Souls, because it has the same rush of like. So yesterday I was fighting one of the bosses. I was fighting the
In Dark Souls or in...
No, in Darkest Dungeon.
Oh, Darkest Dungeon. Okay, I haven't actually hit, like, a boss yet.
Okay.
I'm still in the first few. I think I did 3 or 4 quests through the ruins.
Okay, so once you've done, I think it's 4 in each place, there's one we have to go and hunt a boss. And so I was fighting one with a boss in it where he can basically drop things from the ceiling on you. And that takes 2 turns to hit. So I had my party of 4, and they were basically like, I forgot to bring a healer, first of all, so that was bad. And so they were all trying to fight off this boss, and they were just on the skin of their teeth. They had like 2-3 hit points each left, and each character was dodging every hit that would have killed them. And when I finally hit this guy, it was such a great rush, which comes from Dark Souls as well.
Yeah.
But I also get an extra rush because I name everyone in the party after people that are watching the stream.
So that's actually a really, really cool idea. Fun.
So like when someone messes up, I'll yell at them and I'll bellow. I'll be like, what the fuck are you doing? I don't remember. I swear on TG, I'll stop. Calm down.
All right.
Fantastic hit there. Well done. Well done, Jocelyn, with that crit. Or awesome kill, Ryan. That kind of stuff. It's so much fun because you're actually like putting personality into these characters.
Oh, man. I didn't even know that you could rename like the people that show up in your caravan. So,
yeah, you just click in the top left, and it'd be like, "This guy's name is like Jedediah," and just rename him Jeff.
That would probably be easier to keep track of people too, because they all have very like fantasy type names, and I'm just like, I don't even know how to say that. I am not attached to you at all.
No, but when you name them, you do have an attachment to them. So when they die. I think I had a party of 3 level 4 people, 4 level 3 people completely get wiped the other day.
Oh no.
And that was people like named after my girlfriend Lindsay and named after like our friend Barber.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone in that party died.
Oh no.
It sent me back so far. But it's like, you know, that feeling of challenge and wanting to be like, okay, I could do better next time. Let's train up a full party. Let's do this.
Oh man.
So good.
I feel like there's still little bits of it because, like I say, I don't play a lot of these type of games, so some of it I find a little bit confusing. But there's like, for each like person, they have like white dots underneath them.
Yes.
What the heck does that mean?
So, so that's the stress system.
Oh, okay.
So you can take 2 points, 2 types of damage. You can take health damage.
Yes.
And you can take stress damage.
Which, it took me a really long time to actually realize that stress damage was a thing. There were just these, like, black markers showing up over my characters. And I was like, oh, stop, what did I do?
Yeah,
like, but it's, like, random-ish.
I wouldn't say it's random. When they get to 100 stress damage, they get an affliction, which means they can... So it's like a buff or a debuff.
Yes.
And it affects them.
By random, I mean just like when they take that stress damage. Like I was walking through a hallway and one of them all of a sudden was just like, boom, stress damage. And I was like, what?
Yeah. So when they take damage they can take damage from also stress attacks, or if like one of your characters has like an abusive trait, so he's calling them rude things, or if someone stops being religious. Also, if their stress goes up to 200, they die of a heart attack.
Mm-hmm.
Just immediate, instant kill.
Oh, I thought that they went... because isn't there kind of a thing... I haven't actually had anybody get to, like, 0 hit points yet.
Mm-hmm.
So, but isn't there kind of like a dead and then, like, dead, never coming back dead?
There's death's door, which is like when they're on 0 hit points and then one more hit will kill them. There's also... Oh no, one more hit will like put them into a state where they have to roll.
Oh, okay.
So if
they
die or not, kind of like a D&D.
Yeah.
Then also, stress doesn't have that. Stress is, you hit 200 stress and your character's gone.
Oh no!
I had one character who got to 100% stress and he had the hopeless trait, and he just killed himself.
What?
Like he straight up committed suicide in the middle of this dungeon.
Oh my god.
It was terrible.
I've only had one get to over 100 stress, and she actually got a buff. So she hit 100, and then it was like, it doubled her healing power or something like that, and she got like, invigorated or something, I think was...
Yeah.
Yeah, and I was like, wow, this is awesome! I should stress them out more.
There's a chance that can happen. Like,
yeah.
I think like 1 out of 10 chances gives them a buff.
Yeah.
And yeah, they become super strong then.
Yeah. So I was just like, oh man, I am like rocking this game.
Yeah.
But I feel like I'm still very early on, and there have been a couple times where like my healer's just barely been able to keep everybody alive, and I feel like there's also probably some sort of like speed or attack order or something that I'm not getting. Because it seems to me like my healer just like never goes. It's like never her turn.
So there's this, each card has a speed rating,
Okay.
and if the higher up on that they go, the further. There's also a dice roll, so it's your character's speed plus the dice roll, which is invisible, depends on when they go. So yeah, so say I've got a speed rating of 6 and the dice roll 6, I'll get 12, then you know how it works. I don't know how else to explain it. It's basically
No, you're doing
it's like
a good
initiative
job.
in D&D.
Yeah, okay, cuz okay, so is that like visible anywhere other than like oh, okay. Cuz I was just like I never know who's coming up next and that makes it a little bit difficult to kind of plan my attacks, I guess.
Yes.
So
You can tell who's still left to go by
can you?
when they haven't acted yet, they've got like a little yellow bar on the end.
Oh, is that what that means?
Yeah, so it means they've got an action left.
Oh, okay. Because I thought for the longest time that those little like white marks underneath them, I thought that that was somehow like their speed or remaining actions or something like that. And then so I was like, oh no, this dude only has like one more chance. And then but then he just kept going, and I was like, oh, maybe I must be wrong. But I don't know. I feel like I wish there was more of a tutorial to it. But at the same time, man, it's so much fun. And then like.
Yes.
I mean, I love going back into town to like relieve their stress, and then like you have to send people to like the brothel or like the
Oh, God.
church, and like it's so cool.
So, when you're playing with a character's name after your friends, that's even more fun. You're like, oh, I'm going to send Jocelyn to the bar, and Ryan's going to go get flagellated, and Nick will be in the brothel.
Oh my
It's
God.
really fun.
So yeah, Darkest Dungeon is what I've been playing. I recommend it to just everyone. Just go give
Yes.
it a try because it's really, really fun. And like I said, I don't like roguelike games. I don't like turn-based combat, but I am absolutely loving this. And I think for me, what's pulling me in is a lot of the kind of like voiceover
Yes.
character acting, just like all of the stuff that is kind of said. It's like it's really dark and I don't know, not necessarily evil, but depressing maybe would be a kind of a good way to put
Definitely
it. Like
depressing. I think it's gothic. Cool. I think it's
goth,
called gothic
that
style.
yeah, that's a really, really good word for it. And I don't know, it pulls me in and makes me giggle and like I don't know, I'm way into this now.
He's really good. His name's the narrator's name is Wayne June.
Okay. See, you
And
always know all of this like random
oh, I
video
just
game
looked it up.
stuff. Like, oh, okay. I was like, honestly, dude, how do you keep all of this information in your head?
I mean, I'm pretty smart.
That's also true.
No, I looked up because I wanted to say what his name was, and he's done some like readings of Edgar Allan Poe poetry,
Oh my God, that
which
would
I
be
will be
so
listening
good.
to immediately. And oh, so as a professional Twitch streamer, you should know this. He's done voice packs
Oh,
for
cool.
people. I'll send you one after the show. Those are pretty cool.
Yeah.
It'll be things like you've got a new follower or something like that. He's really cool. Really cool.
Oh man, now yeah, I totally want him like narrating all of the things that happen on my channel now.
Absolutely.
It really goes well with like, all of the pink that is my general streaming overlay and hair,
Yeah.
like super poppy fun pink stuff with like Edgar Allan Poe type follow
Gothic
notifications.
horror.
Yeah,
Yeah.
gothic horror, yeah. Oh man, so other than Darkest Dungeon, what else have you been playing this week, dude?
The Witness came out yesterday.
I did. Ryan and I are actually, I think, going to play and talk about this for next week. But what are
Yes,
your
do it.
first, like, kind of impressions? Because this is from the same developer who created Braid, right?
Yes, Jonathan Blow.
Right.
So I'll preface this by saying I really, really hated Braid. I
All
thought
right.
Braid was one of the most overhyped, rubbish puzzle platformers I've ever played. I think time travel mechanics in a puzzle platformer are terrible, and I do not think that game deserves the praise it has.
Okay.
That said, The Witness is one of the best puzzle games I've ever played.
Good.
It's so good at, so you'll be given a puzzle and it'll be really simple. Just to teach the mechanics of that type of puzzle. Then it will step it up one, and then it will step it up another, in just in difficulty. And then by the time we get to the fifth puzzle, you are completely lost. In a good way, because it's like turning everything you've learned on its head. So without giving any examples, I had one puzzle that was like, look out for these things, look out for this, these things, do this. And then it completely changed the rules by basically saying, okay, you've been doing this. That doesn't work anymore. But something similar still works.
Okay.
And I was sat there, when I was streaming last night, I was sat there for maybe 3 or 4 minutes trying to figure out what had changed. And when I got it, it was so clear what I've been missing. And it's one of those games that makes you feel like legitimately smart. Like most puzzle games, like, think, oh, I don't quite understand how I solved that. Mm-hmm. This one is, I nailed that solution. I know how I nailed it. I am smart for getting that solution.
That happened to me a couple times in Tomb Raider, actually. It's like,
okay,
you started in one spot and then you had to get to another spot. And then I just pushed a whole bunch of buttons and somehow I like grabbed the right rock or something and opened the door. And I was just kind of like, I don't even know how I did that. But now I get to proceed. Yay. Yep.
The Witness doesn't do that.
Yeah.
Every puzzle I solved last night, I know how I solved.
So how far into the game are you?
I have solved 80 puzzles.
Okay.
There are 680 puzzles.
Oh, wow.
So not very far.
Yeah. Jeez, that's a lot of puzzles.
You don't have to finish all 600. I think J-Blo said you have to finish 500 of them to finish the game. Like, some are optional, some are secret. I've done 2 secret puzzles so far. Ooh. Which were really fun.
So what are the rewards, I guess, at the end of the puzzles? Is it just like progression through the map, or do you collect things, or it's just straight up to get
straight
from point A to point B?
Exploration, yeah, open world exploration. Like, this will open up a door for me, or this will open up that thing. I've noticed one piece of progression so far, like one goal, which was I had to activate a laser. But apart from that, there's been no.
I've seen something. I feel like that might be how you finish the game, is like activating all the lasers. Because I've seen a screenshot from it, which is basically like there's like a mountain in the middle, and there's like a whole bunch of like, I guess they're lasers, beams of light, whatever, coming out from like the jungle, various points in the island. So I feel like that's probably like the win condition, is activating all the lasers, and then something funky happens at the top of the mountain. I don't know.
Okay, so I've done one of those.
So yeah, you still have a long way to go then, because I think it looked like there were about 10, maybe 12 of those.
Okay, good. It's one of those, but I've never had to do this in a puzzle game before, but I've actually been having to write stuff down.
Oh, cool.
And I mean, yesterday I wasn't writing stuff down because watching a streamer, you know, using a pen and paper, it was really boring. So I was like this. Hey Siri, left 1, right 2, left 5.
Wow.
It's so rewarding finishing a puzzle. And you asking that question about the rewarding stuff is actually one of the bigger complaints I've been hearing about the game.
Mm.
People have been saying, it's bad. It doesn't give you incentive to continue. Serious to recording this, by the way. We don't have to continue. People are saying, there's no reward for beating a puzzle. It's all very much you're just solving puzzle for puzzle's sake. And that's really bothered me, because why do I need to be treated like a child every time I finish a puzzle? I don't need you to give me a piece of candy for doing good.
I think that's kind of just video games in general. It's very much built on a reward system. Like, you go in and you are doing whatever the thing is in the game, beating bosses, solving puzzles, exploring, whatever, and then you're rewarded with experience or gold or items or something, and it's like that... there's a name for it. Anyways, when you are rewarded, it makes you feel good. It makes you want to have that experience again. And that's why mobile games became so popular, because they literally reward you like all the time. So that system in your brain, it's constantly firing like, yay, I got a cookie. I want another cookie. So I'm going to keep playing. And I have to pay you 90 cents to keep playing. Okay, that's fine, because I want a cookie, you know? So...
Yeah.
I feel like that's where a lot of games have kind of gone, and I guess in a lot of cases we've seen like games like, I've gone home, life is strange, that you're not necessarily rewarded with things. You don't necessarily get items, but what you get is more story pieces. So you're still getting that reward. But if the witness is just straight up like, the reward is you feeling smart and accomplished, that's not enough for, I would say, a majority of gamers now. So I can absolutely see how that would be a complaint. Yeah. Like,
sure,
you can play the witness just to solve all the puzzles. And I feel like that's almost like back more along the lines of like, people who play Sudoku or word searches that kind of gaming where it's just like, well, why did you want to do Sudoku puzzle number 257? Well, because it's different than 256, and then I solve it and then I feel smart. So, but we don't see that in video games so much anymore.
No. There was actually, it's called, I was reading a tweet from Jonathan Blow a little while ago. He basically said how he hated the Skinner box, which is what most video games, which is basically what you're talking about. It's basically you treat an animal to do something for a reward.
Yeah.
So a rat pulls a lever, gets a treat. I mean, you're right. Video games do it. Like World of Warcraft does it when you level up. It gives you like a big beam of light and you're like, yeah, dang, I want to do that again.
Yeah.
And I think he's saying, basically this game is saying Skinner boxes don't belong in video games. Because you should do something for the sake of enjoying it, not for the sake of getting something.
Yeah, so then I guess that just comes down to what each individual player thinks is enjoyment. You know, like, you get enjoyment out of solving a puzzle and feeling smart. I get enjoyment out of the ding in World of Warcraft when I hit a new level.
Yeah.
I just started a new tune, so it's happening, like, all the time, and it's amazing. I'm like, yes, level 25, suck it.
That brings me on to one of the discussions I wanted to have with you later on.
Yeah, we'll get there. But overall, The Witness, you're really digging. You're into it. It's a lot of fun.
Two thumbs up. Yep, absolutely.
Awesome. I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to talking to Ryan about it, too, because where he is entering a new part of his life with the whole child thing, I'm wondering how much time he has for a game like this that isn't as traditionally rewarding as other video games with their cookies.
I think the thing with The Witness and what he'll appreciate is how little time you have to invest to get enjoyment out of it.
Oh, good.
Like, you can pop in and do a puzzle in for 10 minutes. Or do, like, 5 or 6 puzzles in 10 minutes.
Unless it's one of the really hard ones.
Yeah. And then pop out and then come back in. And then, you know, he's going to have little amounts of time now. It's one of those games. Like phone games are.
Well, that's what Hearthstone is for me a lot, too, is, like, when I know I have 20 minutes, I'm like, okay, I'll pop in and play a match and play mode and, you know, really in and out real quick, done.
Hunter Shinobi brings up an interesting point in the chat room. He says, most games are goal-oriented, so setting attainable goals is always a draw for players, and I totally agree. But I don't think that's what I was trying to say. I was trying to say, basically, why does my goal also need to be giving me a little bit of a pat on the back for beating the goal. The beating the goal should be the reward, you know?
Yeah.
Like getting to leveling up in WoW, you should be like, I leveled up, got my new stats. Why do I need that big beam of light? I don't, it feels good.
Yeah, it feels so good.
It feels great. and yeah, it's like in gambling when you use a slot machine. The slot machine goes, you win a dollar, and then there's all those beams of lights.
Yeah.
I got my dollar. Shouldn't that be a reward? No, you make big fuss of it, so I want to gamble more.
Yeah. That's actually a really good analogy and makes me feel kind of bad for loving that beam of light so much.
Nothing wrong with liking it. I mean, that's how we're conditioned. It's just, I think it's interesting that a games developer like Jonathan Blow is talking about and analyzing that in this game.
Well, and that's, I mean, and we should say, like, a lot of the stuff that you do is, like, indie investigations, looking at indie games, and I feel like indie games is the place where these kind of topics get explored, like, you know, story over gameplay and looking at games in different ways and all that kind of stuff. Like, AAA titles are usually pretty straightforward, follow the same kind of a mold. You have levels, you have XP, you have items, you have gold. And regardless of how you kind of put that all together, whatever currencies you call them, it's the same sort of a thing. You start here, you move here, and there are levels in between with different kinds of rewards. So I find it really interesting, and I like the indie game space for that exact reason. Like, have you seen anything else kind of lately that has done the same sort of thing, which is just like progression for progression's sake?
Not that I can think of, honestly. I was going to say Darkest Dungeon right then, but I guess when you level up, it's like you get a little bit of a boost and stuff. But no, you know what? Darkest Dungeon, because there's no actual fanfare when you do something. It's like, oh, you didn't die this time, you know, keep trying to not die. No, I don't think so. I can't think of anything that does it like that.
Mm-hmm. It's really interesting. I think probably the only other one that, although no, that's still pretty story driven. I was going to say, that one from the guy that did the Stanley Parable.
Oh, Beginner's Guide.
Beginner's Guide. Thank you. Yeah, that was the one that kind of came to mind. But I guess there's still kind of a bit of a story there. So
yeah. There's totally a story in The Witness. Yeah.
Oh, is there? Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah, it's all told through like audio logs and stuff. I found an audio log yesterday. That was a quote from a scientist in the 1920s talking about entropy. And another one, there was a quote from Albert Einstein. And it's all like putting together what the story of the island is.
Oh,
there's no main story, but there is something there that you have to find.
Oh, okay. I totally thought it was just completely driven by like your desire to finish puzzles.
I mean, that's the main driving force, but there is a story there.
Mm-hmm.
Hachirai Kumo says, it's the game company making the right choice for driving a game both to appeal to casual and veterans, and I think that is what I'm getting at.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really glad this game isn't going for a wide market. I'm glad that it's been like, I'm going after puzzle gamers. I'm going after people that want to explore.
Mm-hmm.
This is my market. I do not need huge sales. I just need to hit who I want to
hit. Target,
and,
yeah.
Yes. I mean, he spent his life savings on this game. I think he said it was like £7 million out of his own budget. And it was everything he had.
How?
Made from grade.
Like, oh man, I don't know. That seems like a huge, huge, like £7 million.
Let me check. No, I've said that.
No, but just like, you know what I mean, like all the money from Braid, like everything that he's done, that's a huge amount of money. Like, I can't imagine. I mean, The Witness looks more or I guess less indie, maybe. Like more complete than a lot of previous titles, but at the same time, like, not like a AAA title. Like £7 million, it seems like such a huge budget for an indie title.
So he spent every single thing he made from Braid out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And borrowed a bunch of money to finish it.
Jeez.
I mean, and that makes, I mean, his team of, I think, was 8 people. Mm-hmm. So if you imagine like paying someone's wage for the 4 or 5 years and that kind of thing, that's already like a couple of $100,000 gone a year.
Yeah.
And then you've got all the art assets. So it's understandable, but yeah, it's a buttload of money for him to take such a big risk on.
Yeah, that's huge.
I'm really hopeful it becomes a commercial success. And I think it is, because I mean, I think it's the best-selling thing on Steam right now.
Oh, is it? Yeah.
Oh, it's in there. Which is
I would be interested to see, like, what the average amount of playtime is on The Witness for everybody on Steam. You know,
right,
like,
now?
Mm-hmm. Just to know, like, if it's the sort of thing where people are actually going in and trying to solve all those puzzles and spending 10 or 20 hours playing it, or if it's like, they go in, play it for 10 minutes, go, this is dumb, I don't like it, and leave.
I don't know if there's a way to check that.
I don't know. I feel like Steam knows, but I don't know if that's the kind of thing that is public.
I'm checking Steam Spy. Spy might know.
Maybe. So other than The Witness, because you've been playing Darkest Dungeon, The Witness, you've got one more thing here on your list that I don't actually think I've ever heard of. So what's Dragon's Dogma?
Dragon's Dogma is a game that came out for the Xbox and PS3 in 2013.
Oh, okay, because I was like, I've been trying to keep a pretty close eye on new releases, and I haven't seen this one pop up.
It just released on PC on 2 Fridays ago.
Oh, okay.
And it's basically a JRPG. It's like a Japanese like game that mixes in Dark Souls, Monster Hunter, Devil May Cry.
Well, then I will hate it.
Like this. No, it's nowhere near
stupid
as hard as Dark Souls.
Dark Souls crap.
Nowhere near as hard. It's just, it's more, actually, do you ever play Shadow of the Colossus?
No.
Okay. Did you ever play, okay, so I'll tell you a scene that happened to me the other day, right? So me and my party of three, you can have a party that you create. So you create your main character, and then you create a pawn, and then you create two other...
Wait, you create what?
A pawn, like a P-A-W-N.
Oh, a pawn.
A pawn. Sorry, I said pawn.
No, I thought you said you create a porn.
That would be a better, absolutely much better game.
What the hell kind of game are you playing, James? And chat room is currently channeling Ryan and saying that's very Japanese.
It is very Japanese. Like, so you can create your guy, and then you hire two other people's ones, and they're all like little tiny, really busty Japanese girls.
Okay.
I have a whole party of women, but it's my guy.
Of course. Buddies.
So you're running around with them, and a griffin lands on my party, right? So we're fighting it, and it picks me up, flies me up into the air, and then starts to drop me. But as I'm falling, one of my buddies jumps and grabs me and saves me. And then I climb on the back of the griffin, and I'm like riding it and setting it on fire. So it's flying through the air on fire with me holding on to its mane, me hitting it in the face with my sword, and it falls and it lands on the ground dead. And I just like fly off it. And it was so cool. It's very Shadow of the Colossus, where you're basically like climbing up cyclopses to stab it in the eye.
Oh,
and
it'll cool.
reach around to pull you and throw you off the ground, or fighting a chimera where you get on the back and like are cutting off its snake tail. It's so cool. It's a Capcom game, so you know it's very Japanese. My main character, because it's all your characters can go to other people's worlds. You have pseudonyms. Like my character's pseudonym is Mega Man. That kind of thing. It's so good. I recommend games jokingly to you a lot. I would recommend Dragon's Dogma. Like, seriously.
I will definitely check it out. I'll probably check it out not on PC, though. I'll probably grab it on Xbox or PlayStation.
Yeah, but... I don't know if it's out on the newer consoles. It's on the older ones. Hmm. But Dragon's Dogma Dark Arisen is the full version of the game, and it's really cool.
If it's come to PC, then there's a really good chance it's on Xbox One, because there's a lot of crossover there.
Ooh, that's true, yeah.
Yeah.
Let me check.
Well, while you do that, I just wanted to remind everyone that if you wanted to rep Amove, you can get all kinds of really cool Amove stuff over at bit.ly/Amove store. So you can get a TGI glass with a cool TGI logo on one side, and then you can have the Amove logo on the other side. There's pint glasses, there's wine glasses. It's really, really cool stuff. So if you guys want to, go check out bit.ly/Amove store, which brings us into our topic of the week this week. And this is a James-driven topic. what do you want to talk about this week?
Well, my first topic was I really like video games.
Which is a great topic.
Yes. I mean, I think we covered that pretty
yeah,
much.
Yeah, I think so.
In this talk. My second one is, do you still like MMOs? Because I was thinking about it today, and I honestly can't see myself playing an MMO in ever again.
Really? Not even Legion when it comes out? Like, you're done with Warcraft?
Let me rephrase it. I can't see myself playing an MMO for a sustained period of time again.
Mm.
Like, I could see myself playing it enough to see the story and get to the top of the... get to max level.
Yeah.
I guess, no, not max level, because you start at level 100. There's no boost. There's no level cap increase.
Yeah, I think you go up to 110, I think.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Hmm. I thought that was they'd taken it out because
it might have changed. I'm not 100% sure, but it might have changed. But
it did change. It was like you do level up to level 110 now. God damn it, Blizzard!
they just know how to get you.
No, I don't want that. I was happy that was going to be level 100. Oh, I'm annoyed now.
Oh man, it's totally fine. Legion is going to be awesome, and I think 110. It's more levels. It's good.
I think what I'll do is I'll play. I'll get my Death Knight to 110. I'll level a Demon Hunter and I'll be like, okay, I'm done. I just can't do that going into a game and then doing 30 or 40 quests that are exactly the same ever again. It's like,
okay.
Go kill 10 bears for 60 hours. I spent, my Death Knight has like 338 days on him. I've done my time.
I don't know. I find, although you're right, a lot of quests are built around, like, go kill this thing, do this thing, escort this person, whatever, find 18 of these. I think it's gotten a lot better. I'm actually right now both leveling a new character in Warcraft and also working on Lore Master. So working on Lore Master, like I'm going back and doing all the quests from Vanilla all the way up and through Pandaria. Draenor, for some reason, doesn't actually count towards like the Lore Master quest.
No, I think that's because Lore Master, they set it up so that when Kado came out and they didn't want to make it so that someone that got it in Kado had to do less work than someone that did it in Panda, you know?
Yeah, which is because Panda still counts. You have to have Lore Master Pandaria, but not not Draenor. Okay. So, so I guess they capped it at the first 10 years of Warcraft, I guess.
almost 10 years. Jesus Christ.
But, 10 years. Yeah, I know, right? But yeah, so I have been going back and I can definitely see the improvements from in both storytelling and just quest design in general from stuff like I did all the Kalendor stuff and now I'm working on Eastern Kingdoms. And then just for a bit of a change, I actually went and started the Pandaria stuff. Mm-hmm. And I had actually never leveled through Jade Forest because when I hit Pandaria, they'd already done one XP squish. So I leveled through up until, I guess, I was like 91 or 92, and I'd only done about half the story content in Jade Forest, so I just moved on because I wanted to keep leveling. And so I totally missed it. And then, so actually going through and like seeing all the stuff that you had to do, like, there was, you had to like ride on the back of the Jade Serpent, and you got all this like background story and that I totally didn't get, and then you like break the giant Jade Serpent statue and all the Shaw pops out, and I was like, this sets up the entire expansion and I missed it, like, no wonder nothing made any effing sense.
So I have Lore Master, and that was really, really rewarding to get. I did everything. I did Fadilla, BC, Wrath, Kata, Mists, and Draenor. I did it in Draenor. Mm-hmm. And
I have Lore Master of Draenor already, and I did that just through leveling.
Nice. Okay. I really think that it's not so much the questing, it's the, without being able to get into a raid group, I am worried that I will be paid. And I mean, yes, we used to raid, but there's no time because, you know, I'm working full time now.
Yeah.
And it's just, I'm scared that I will get in there and I have a really addictive personality. I'm just going to get in there and I won't do anything else.
Mm.
Like, I will be in there paying my $15 a month and just not playing any other video game.
Mm-hmm. Well, for me, I find, like, I pay $15 a month for Warcraft. And aside from Hearthstone, and actually probably even more than Hearthstone, I put so much time into Warcraft each and every month. Like, I'm getting more than my money's worth for $15 a month. Especially if you compare it to most other titles. Like, I've spent so much money on video games in the last year, and the only thing that I've played that's a AAA title, start to finish, in the last 6 months was Tomb Raider. Everything else, like, I've played a couple hours, and I walk away from, and I go play Warcraft. So,
I actually bought Tomb Raider today. I'm excited to play it.
It's really good, dude. Really good.
Yeah. Comes out tomorrow on PC.
Yes. Yep. I think the reason I still like MMOs is that Warcraft was my first MMO, and I didn't pick it up until Kata. So I came to just the MMO genre and Warcraft way later than most people. So I'm not burnt out on it yet like a lot of people are. And even that being said, I think that a lot of people are really just singing the praises of Blade and Soul, I think, just came out.
Yes, I've seen that being talked about a lot, yeah.
So I feel like there's a new kind of take on the genre, and I think that Warcraft is also evolving a little bit, and I think Legion's going to be really good, but I can definitely see how you could get burnt out on just the same sort of quests over and over and over. But I'm so invested in the lore of Warcraft now, I don't think I could stop playing. Like, I wouldn't want to.
I really hope it's good because I love the world. I love the lore. I love the whole Illidan stuff.
I think it's going to be so cool bringing Illidan back, but he's not like evil.
Yeah.
He's just like pissed off.
He'd be like an anti-hero.
Yeah.
Apparently there's a quest where as Death Knights you go and see Bolvar Four Dragon as well. Which is amazing.
That is so cool. It probably, maybe to get the Shards of Frostmourne.
I hope so. Or something like that. But I mean, I'm scared. It's not that I think it's bad value. It's I'm so scared that it's great value that I'd be like, oh, I'm paying $15 a month for this. I'll just play this forever. when I was staying with Lindsay last summer, I was there for 3 months, and I played WoW like 16 hours a day. And it's really bad. And yeah. I won't play anything else. Mm-hmm. I'll get home, I'll log in, be like, oh, I've got to do my garrison. And I think if the garrisons weren't there, I'd be fine.
I don't like the daily quest thing. I don't like doing that. Because right now I'm trying to get my... the other thing I'm doing other than Lore Master is trying to get the Draenor flying. Because once you have it on one character, then you have it on all characters. And I'm like, that's going to be so good for leveling my alts. Because that's one thing that, like... Leveling in Draenor was not fun after the first time. Like, I have so many characters that are sitting at, like, 92. And earlier I said in Jade Forest I hit 92 or whatever. But, yeah, I had my levels wrong. Pandaria was 85 to 90. So, sorry, guys. Yeah, but, no, anyways. So I had so many characters, like, sitting at, like, 91, 92, kind of, like, right around when you get your garrison. And they just kind of, like, I made it to the garrison. And then it was just, like, I don't want to do this anymore. So I can totally see just you not liking the dailies and the grind, because you do. You feel like you have to log in. You have to do it. Like, absolutely. My Gladiator Sanctum, I've kept it going from, like, when I first built it in my garrison all the way up until now, because I used to play so much Ashrae, and I have, like, 10,000 broken bones sitting in my bank. Jesus. So I have to make sure that I'm, you know, logged in once every 2-ish days to make sure I can keep refreshing my Sanctum, because it just churns out gold and honor. So why wouldn't I keep it going?
No.
But yeah, it's just doing that daily.
Back to that addictive personality thing, and that Skinner boxing is like, oh, I've got to log in because then I get my special loot back, and then I'm doing good again. it's that sinisterness of MMOs. I guess I wouldn't say that I've awakened to, because that makes it sound snooty, but it's more like that I've realized that affects me really badly, and that I don't want to deal with. And I guess what else is bothering me is that it started leaking to single-player games, too. The whole
daily quest grind thing?
Yeah, like, Dragon Age Inquisition has loads of it.
Mm.
Or The Witcher 3 has it. Or
Dying Light
is going to have it.
I haven't played too much through The Witcher 3. I think it's another one of those ones that I bought, and I played a couple hours and stopped.
Sure.
So, what kind of things do you have to do in Witcher 3 that you think really fit this whole MMO-type style daily quest grind?
It's things like having fetch quests, or having a huge map and having to grind levels.
Because Ryan and I talk about this a lot, actually, because it happens to me a lot in the game, is I get really invested in the main storyline, and so many games are like, oh my god, the world is ending, it's the apocalypse, this big person's gonna explode us all in a few days, you know? And then they're like, oh, but could you go find me 10 of those flowers, and can you go, like, feed my chickens? And you're just like... Or in The Witcher 3, which is what turned me off immediately, was you are chasing a girl, trying to find her, you've almost caught up to her, you get to the first town, and you have to do, like, all these grindy quests in the first town, and I'm just like... Damn it, like, no, I want to keep going and find this chick, but you can't do it because if you go outside of that kind of space, then you're too low level, so you have to do these grindy side quests. Yeah. The same thing happened, I think the first time I really, really realized it was, that Kurt Schilling title. The thing that was supposed to be an MMO but didn't end up being an MMO.
Oh, Kingdoms of Amalur.
Kingdoms of Amalur, that's it.
Yeah, the 38 Studios game.
Yes, because I was literally bashing my head against this boss, and I just couldn't win. He was basically one-shotting me. And Ryan was like, oh, well, what level are you? And I was like, I don't know, 12, let's say. And he's just like, oh, no, you need to be, like, level 15 before you go do that boss. And I'm like... But it's my next story quest. Like, this is dumb. Like, why can't I just keep going? And so I feel like there's a huge urgency in the main storyline, but then it's completely contradicted by the fact that you have to do all this stupid grindy crap.
Yes. And you have that in JRPGs, and I've never liked that. Like, Final Fantasy, you have to grind to be good.
Yeah.
Loads of games do, and it's a huge, huge bump. But I think, yeah. Yeah, you
know. I almost wish that there was some way to just get rid of levels. You know, like, stop the grinding for XP, just be like, you are already, like, the hero. Just do it. You know, like, I'm supposed to be The Witcher. I'm supposed to be Captain Shepard, you know, or Commander Shepard.
Commander Shepard, yeah.
I'm sorry. You know, like, I should just, like, I'm already a general. I've already gone through 5 expansions of Warcraft. Just freaking let me do it. And, you know, do the stories that I want to do. Don't gate it with, like, a level that you have to be in order to have enough stats. Like, just let me do it. I'm already good. Otherwise, you wouldn't have picked me to go on this freaking mission or to command this army or whatever.
So Jim and Joss and Tondagosa, not Joss, you're Jocelyn.
I am.
Jim and Tondagosa are saying it's any game that's not an RPG, and I 100% disagree with that, because in Dark Souls, you can take on any enemy at any level.
Yeah.
In Darkest Dungeon, you don't need to grind levels. If you're skilled enough, you can do it.
Mm-hmm.
In games like Dragon's Dogma, you can take on any enemy at any level. It's going to be hard, and it's not recommended, but it's doable.
Mm-hmm. Whereas I feel like in a lot of other cases and a lot of other games, it's like, no, there is literally no combination of abilities or button pushes or anything that you could possibly do to defeat this boss that's 3 levels above you.
Yes.
And that's the part that I hate. Yeah. Versus, like, I'm trying to think, like, I guess technically you don't level up in, like, say, Zelda.
No.
You're just kind of gated by, like, have you found the ability or, I guess, item that you need. So have you found the fire arrows or have you found the mirror shield? So that's kind of gated as well. But that experience to me is still more rewarding because there is, like, the main quest line. Like, you are going to find the 3 jewels and then you're going to beat the 6 dungeons and, you know, you're still progressing in the main storyline. I get really pissed off when the main storyline comes to a grinding halt because, you know, you aren't at a high enough level.
So now the chat room's saying Dark Souls isn't a role-playing game. And you have an inventory system. You can level up. You're playing the role of a character. It has a storyline. You create your character at the beginning. Those are pretty much the 4 tenets of a role-playing game. I'm sorry, guys, but Dark Souls is 100% a role-playing game. It's definitely an action role-playing game.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely a role-playing game. I understand that leveling up is a key tenet of it, but I think what Justin and I are saying that we shouldn't have to or be forced to defeat an opponent. We should be able to play the game. We should be able to take. I shouldn't be constrained into a leveling system because of the game. I should be able to pick my own levels, like in Oblivion. Oblivion allowed you to had level scaling, so any enemy you could fight at any level, and it didn't quite work. It was a good idea because if I'm level 13, the enemy will be level 13.
Mm-hmm.
It will still be challenging, but I'll still have to buy. But you know, and it'll be harder because level 13. But I'll also have a fair chance of fighting it.
Mm-hmm. It's like the world leveled with you.
Yes, exactly. Whereas in Skyrim, I could level 5, and I could fight a frost troll, like that frost troll on the way to High Hrothgar.
Mm.
I think that's what it's called. And if I'm too low level, I can't beat it. It's not doable.
Yeah.
And I understand that it's something to do with pacing and level gating and controlling my experience. But in an open world RPG, I shouldn't have my experience controlled. It should be open world.
Yeah. I completely agree. Yep. So, on that note, I still like MMOs, to bring us back to the original question.
That's good.
And yeah, I think, obviously, I'm going to play Legion, but I find it really difficult to kind of move on to any new MMOs. I tried a few. I can't think of them off the top of my head, but I definitely tried SWTOR and was really put off by all the gating of not levels, but money. It's just like, yes. Do you want to do anything? Well, pay us $3. Do you want to do this thing? Oh, that's going to be 5. So, yeah, no, I SWTOR really put me off just with all the you have to buy it stuff. There was Rift. I tried Rift.
Rift is all right.
Yeah. Obviously, ESO. I'm trying to remember. There's been 5 or 6 that I've tried since I got into WoW because I do love WoW so much. And I find there's 2 reasons that I generally don't get way into other MMOs. I am way invested into the lore of Warcraft, so I want to know what happens in that story, and I have enough background in it that I get pulled in really easily. I find new MMOs, I struggle to get attached to characters and to their story because I'm just kind of like, okay, I don't really have any background. Like, oh, Wildstar. Wildstar is another one that I thought was going to be really cool. Yeah, Wildstar was not great. But then also, all of my friends are playing Warcraft. Like, my just social circle is so entrenched in Blizzard games that,
yeah,
you know, to go off and do another MMO, I'm just like, yeah, but I could be in Warcraft with all my friends right now, as opposed to in Wildstar with, like, two of them, you know? So...
Yeah, no, I agree. I think I've been playing MMOs since I was... If you count Neopets as an MMO, since I was maybe five.
Neopets, oh and my then, god.
So it would have been Neopets, RuneScape, Anarchy Online, Guild Wars 1.
Guild Wars, that was the other one.
Guild Wars 2.
Yep.
World of Warcraft. Tor, World of Warcraft. MMO hatred. it declined quickly after a while.
I know, because when we were raiding, like, I thought we were having so much fun, and then all of a sudden doing it.
It's just... I think I've come to realize how much of a social experience MMOs are.
Hmm.
And being in the time zone that I am makes it difficult, because... being an AIE, being an American guild.
Yeah.
I don't have that socialness, and then it's just like it's a single player RPG experience where the RPG stuff in WoW just isn't great.
Mm-hmm.
And I think actually the chat room, it was maybe misunderstanding what we were saying. We weren't saying we hated those games. More that we wish there was a little bit more of a leniency to the leveling systems. A little bit more of a, hey, maybe you don't have to go and do side quests to get to the story.
Mm-hmm.
Just let
me. Yeah, that's my big problem is, you know, and Ryan always says like, oh, well, that's just the way games work. And I'm just like, but no.
Yeah, I mean,
does it have to be the way games work?
No. I think if I had the option of, I think that's why story mode in games is being such a big thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because then you can just do the story. And I'm not saying that I want to do the story game, because I am furthest away from story. I think out of the people I know that I've ever talked about video games with, I am definitely the person that likes gameplay most.
Yes, I am like the polar opposite of that. I am so story-driven, it's ridiculous. Like, mechanics are all right, but as long as there isn't some mechanic in the game that will just totally turn me off from playing, if you have a solid story, like, I will play that. Mm-hmm. But you have to hook me, and I'm totally story-driven. Like, I won't play a game that's just like, oh, the mechanics are great, but the story's terrible. Mm-hmm. Like, that's not my thing.
I love good mechanics, and I think that I'm happy if I don't have to pay attention to the story, but when there's a barrier... like in Psychonauts, everyone adores Psychonauts.
Mm-hmm.
I personally couldn't give a rat's ass about Double Fine, but especially Psychonauts, because there's a bit where you have to collect like 150 of the psychic arrows that they have laying around the level.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, why? Why am I wasting 2 hours picking up these
because
things?
Because arrows, James.
Mission? Why? It's so frustrating. I was loving the game up to that point.
Yeah.
And they gave me a bit of content that was going to take me 2 hours of just running around searching for something.
Mm.
And it was a waste of time. And you know what? New topic. Why is Psychonauts a bad game? Because it made me sit there for an hour, 2 hours, selecting, picking up rubbish because it was gating my time.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that I don't like having to do mind. I think that's what this boils down to is I don't like having to do mindless stuff.
Yeah.
To get to meaningful content, I want every piece of content I do to be meaningful.
That is a great way to wrap up that conversation. That is just like the whole entire thing in one sentence.
I got there in the end.
Well done.
Thank you.
Just wanted to remind everyone that we have our patron hangout, or sorry, not our patron hangout. I copied this from last week. We have game night tomorrow night. I do believe that Ryan is going to be joining us. The post is up on Patreon, so patreon.com/thegamersin. Obviously, thank you to all of our patrons. You guys make game night happen each and every week, and you make the hangout happen once a month. So thank you all so much for supporting the Gamers Inn. Also, a reminder that we are going to be making some changes to our Patreon campaign. So if you want to find out more about that, then you can definitely check out the hangout from last week, because Ryan and I went into great detail on what we are going to be doing with Patreon, and mostly it revolves around bringing ourselves more in line with what the rest of the AMOVE Patreons are doing, as well as bringing you more content, which is really the end game, right? So yeah, again, that is patreon.com/gamersin, and thank you very much to each and every one of our patrons. I think that pretty much does it for us this week. So James, why don't you tell everyone where they can find you?
Oh, I live in Kent in the UK.
Well, not physically. What are you doing on the interwebs?
You can find me on Twitter at @Iagbo. I tweet stuff. I work for Green Man Gaming, so if you see some stuff coming at me about them, that's why. I'll full disclosure there. You can find my YouTube channel, Twitch or TV. youtube.com/initiativecheck, where I do I try and do a daily video about indie games, and then I try and stream every night as well from like 9 till 12, that kind of time.
9 till 12 your time? Our time.
9 till 11 my time. That's GMT.
GMT, I don't even know what this. So that's like
Greenwich Mean Time.
You're 5 hours different than me in Eastern Time,
yes.
Right? So
yes.
If you're streaming from like 9, that means you're streaming at like 4 my time.
Yes, that's right.
Nice. Okay, so 4 p.m. Eastern till 6 or 7 p.m. Eastern, James is streaming all sorts of fun stuff, and you do a lot of fun stuff too with Lindsay, right?
Yes. Yeah. We streamed Until Dawn when she was here. There's full players to that on the YouTube right now. On the YouTube, I just said.
You're getting so old, dude.
And I'm going to be trying to do like a game club thing coming up where we both play a game, we sit down for a good half hour, and we're just like, this is the game of the month.
Oh, cool.
Talk about the game of the month.
That's a really cool idea. Yeah.
Yeah.
Very, very cool.
Going to try and bring in the bigger community.
Yeah, so. Yeah. So again, dude, thank you so much for joining me a little bit last minute. Ryan,
absolutely.
Unexpected baby things, of course.
Yeah.
So yeah, thank you so much for joining me. It's always a pleasure to have you on. We have great conversations. I absolutely love it. We should not let it go like a year and a half again before we do this, which I'm sure there's going to be a lot of Wednesdays where I'm looking for co-hosts. So
yes. I mean, I've said to you before, I'll say it here and now, I'm always welcome. I'm always happy.
I'm always welcome.
I mean, I'm always welcome.
Yeah. I'm always welcome. I'm just saying that right now.
I'm always happy to guest, and it's one of my favorite shows to do, so thank you so much for having me.
Oh, you're very, very welcome. If you'd like to visit us on the web, you can do so at gamersinpodcast.com. You can also find us on AMOVE TV, along with other fabulous podcasts, including The Angry Nerd, Into the Nexus, Overwatchers, and The Angry Chicken. You can follow us on Twitter. You can find me, Jocelyn, at JossPlays. Ryan is at RMurphy, and don't forget to follow the show at The Gamers Inn. The video versions of all our episodes can be found on our YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/AMOVETV. You can also find the show on Facebook and Google+. If you'd like to email the show and let us know what you're playing or what you think about MMOs, you can do so at info@gamersinpodcast.com. So thanks for staying at The Gamers Inn, and remember, tune in next week. Bye, everybody.
Bye.